We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It covers college basketball for ESPN. It's the great Jeff Borzello making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show, Big Interview on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Borzello, before we get to what you saw last night at Madison Square Garden, and I know that Memphis is unranked and has been all season and is largely off of the national radar, but if you've seen Memphis at all this season, it's a bit of a lesser roster, but perhaps a better team. They don't have an obvious NBA draft pick like they have in most years under Penny Hardaway, but they are currently 7-2, top 30 at KenPom. Again, if you've seen Memphis at all, what do you make of what you've seen so far?
I mean, they're old. Like, they're really old. And in a college basketball, I guess, landscape where, you know, everyone, you know, the teams are turning away from kind of starting five freshmen, and only, I guess, we'll get to Duke in a little bit, but you know, you really want to be old nowadays, and Memphis is going to be older and more experienced than pretty much every team they play, and that's going to be worth something down the stretch. I mean, Penny doesn't have to deal with kind of trying to integrate a couple of freshmen and guys that are coming in with huge reputations from high school. He's got guys that have been around the block. They know what college basketball is about. They know what they want. A lot of these guys are on kind of their final, you know, it can be the last 3 months playing college basketball. And so I kind of get that hunger a little bit when watching them. I mean, Kendrick Davis came in and he's, you know, he's been as good as advertised, I guess, but he's also kind of bought into, hey, I don't need to take, you know, 25 shots every game. And DeAndre Williams has been great. And that's kind of the other thing is that over the past couple of years, when Memphis has been good, DeAndre Williams has been good. The team has run through him. The offense has run through him. And, you know, against Mississippi, he got, I think, 15 or 16 shots, which is what he needed. He's been distributing really, really well. So I think that the fact that Davis has come in, but him and Williams have kind of coexisted and it's worked a lot better the past 2 or 3 weeks, I think that's been a good sign. So I just think that, you know, a bunch of old players learning how to play together for their final 3 or 4 months of college basketball, I think it just kind of lends itself to a hunger that they're going to have that a lot of other teams won't have.
Next up for Memphis is Saturday's game down in Atlanta against Auburn. Auburn is undefeated, 8-0, ranked 11th in the AP poll, but no notable wins so far. Best win is maybe a home win over a St. Louis team that just got blasted last night by Iona. Do you have a sense for how good Auburn is at this point?
It's really hard to tell. I mean, the Northwestern game, I mean, they scored 43 points, and that's probably their best win or second best win of the season, which is, you know, maybe a little bit of a dubious sign. The issue I have with Auburn is kind of the same issue as last year, is that, you know, Wendell Green and KD Johnson they have the ball in their hands a lot, especially down the stretch of games, and, you know, neither player is overly trustworthy to make the right decision. And last year, those decisions were to not pass the ball to Jabari Smith or Walker Kessler. I mean, you know, they just flat out forgot those two players existed for long stretches of games. And now they don't have those type of players, and Wendell Green and KD Johnson are still going to be, you know, the heavy usage, high usage guys. So I'm just kind of concerned for Auburn in terms of, all right, when they get into the meat and potatoes of the season, you know, what are those two guys going to do? Are they going to go out and shoot 15, 20 times a game and not get other guys involved? And again, I mean, hey, maybe it works out. We just haven't really seen it yet. Like you mentioned, they don't have any notable wins. So that's kind of the one thing I'm watching. And again, you know, talking about going against Memphis, Auburn's a team that they are experienced, but they also have guys that are coming in looking to prove themselves. I just think Memphis might be more together at this point.
Talking to Jeff Porcello from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jeff Porcello. Last night, you were at the Garden for doubleheader Jimmy V. Game one, an upset. Illinois 85, Texas 78. Texas actually led this game by double digits, as you know, with less than 8 minutes to play. Then Illinois, you know, goes on a 22-12 run to close regulation, force overtime. And then Terrence Shannon, the transfer from Texas Tech, just really took over in those extra 5 minutes, scored 12 of Illinois' 17 points to push Illinois past Texas and give Chris Beard his first loss of the season. Did you learn more from Illinois or Texas last night?
I think Illinois. I was, you know, not really sold on them going into the year. You know, I think they were probably 25 or something in my preseason rankings, and I still wasn't sold on them going into last night. And then, as you mentioned, I mean, Texas looked like they were going to pull away. You know, they should have won it in regulation. They had a lead in the final minute, and it just it kind of opened my eyes. Is you know, Brad Underwood's got a lot of guys. You know, he might have two draft picks in Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon, and you know, Matthew Meyer was considered an NBA prospect when he was at Baylor a couple years ago, and. You know, he's got a really good freshman class, or at least really underrated freshman class. You know, Jaden Epps came in and had 11 points. Sincere Harris played really good defense. He's just got a lot of dudes, and he mentioned that after the game. He said, you know, I don't know who's going to score, who's going to contribute on a given night, but it's coming from somewhere. And last night it was, you know, there was a four-minute stretch where Dane Danger was the guy, and there was a four-minute stretch where Jaden Epps was making plays, and Meyer was awesome in the first half. So it just it kind of opened my eyes a little bit as to, you know, it's a really balanced team. They have a guy in Terrence Shannon who can take over a game, as he showed in overtime after, you know, being kind of MIA for the first 40 minutes. I think they are a legitimate top 15, Big Ten title contender type of team. I think Texas is fine. I do think that some of their offensive issues that we've seen, that we saw last year, I think that kind of came to the forefront again late, where it was a lot of Marcus Carr dribbling or Tyrese Hunter dribbling and not, you know, not really finding any space to create and guys not moving. So I think they'll be fine, but I do think Illinois is a lot better than I thought they were.
In the nightcap at the Garden last night, Duke beat Iowa 74-62. So year one of John Shire, we're 11 games into it. Duke is 9-2. The losses are to Kansas and Purdue. Nothing embarrassing there. They've got three top 30 KenPom wins over Iowa, Ohio State, and Xavier. How do you think John Shire's first season replacing Coach K is going so far?
I think it's going probably according to schedule. I mean, I guess going into the year, I would not have thought they would lose to Purdue by 19 points, but Purdue might be, you know, the best team in the country at this point. I had some concerns a couple of weeks ago. I just didn't think that they had a guy who could take over a game. And, you know, I think a team, especially with young players, needs someone like that. But I think Jeremy Roach, as many issues as he's had the past couple of years in terms of shooting the ball, and, you know, he was coming off the bench for most of last season, he showed last night he can be a guy. He can make shots from the perimeter. He can get to the rim. He's tough. He's physical. And I think that was a really good sign for them moving forward. The other thing is that the freshman class, besides Kyle Filipowski, kind of got off to an inconsistent, at best, start. And I do think they're kind of figuring some things out. I mean, Derek Lively didn't play well last night, but it does look like they practiced throwing the ball to him somewhere near the vicinity of the rim so he can just go catch it and dunk it and then block shots at the other end. He doesn't really need to do much besides that. Derek Whitehead's getting healthy. Mark Mitchell's looked good the past couple of games. Tyrese Proctor's made plays. So for a really young team with a first-year head coach, I think they're probably going according to schedule. And given the struggles of the ACC, they might be able to rack up a lot of kind of easy, cheap wins along the way as the freshman class kind of gets older and more used to college basketball. So I think they looked really, really good last night. And if Jeremy Roach plays like that, you know, it's a top 10-ish team in the country.
You mentioned Derek Lively. For people who are unfamiliar, this is a five-star freshman who at one point was ranked the number one player in his high school class. And I think probably in some recruiting rankings finished either number one or close to it. So far this season, he's been, you know, he's shown he's made little impact. Let's just keep it at that. Do you think, and again, it's early December. We could be talking in January, and he's flipped a switch, and he's unbelievable and overwhelming. But if you were guessing right now, do you think he's just a role player on this Duke team?
I think so. I mean, he was ESPN's number one recruit in the class. I don't know how that looks at this point, but there's still a long way to go. But, like, it's I mean, through 1 month of the season, you could make a very, very easy argument. He's the fourth best post player that Duke has. You know, Filipowski's been terrific, and Mark Mitchell has been really, really good lately. Ryan Young, he was an experienced offensive rebounder, post scorer at Northwestern, and he's doing the same thing at Duke. And when you have those three guys playing the majority of the minutes, and on the perimeter you have Roach and Whitehead and Proctor playing a lot of minutes, it's just, you know, is Lively going to get more than 15 minutes for most of the season? Right now, you'd say no. And, you know, that's kind of pretty, you know, it's pretty alarming for a projected lottery pick, top three recruit, you know, regardless of service. I guess it's a little bit concerning. But again, I mean, he has shown flashes the past couple of weeks. You know, again, they don't really need him to do much besides, you know, run to the rim, catch lobs, and then block shots at the other end. He didn't do that last night. He got into foul trouble pretty quickly and didn't really make an impact. But the other thing you have to consider is he had an injury in preseason, missed a lot of, you know, October practice. And so I think that kind of contributed to the slow start. But if I'm John Shire, I'm looking at Ryan Young and Mark Mitchell and Filipowski and saying, hey, you guys are bringing me more right now. You're going to get more minutes at this point.
Talking to Jeff Borzello from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jeff Borzello. I want to bounce around with you a little bit. If you'd have asked me in the preseason to predict the national champion, I would have said, I don't know, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Houston. Give me one of those teams. If you were to ask me today, I would say I'm less sold on Gonzaga, less sold on North Carolina, but all in on Houston. Kelvin Sampson's team still looking for a big signature win, but the Cougars are ranked number one in the AP poll. They are number one at KenPom, and they seem to check every box you need to win a national championship. Experience, great coach, NBA talent, a five-star freshman. Are you a believer in Houston to that extent?
Yeah, I think they have the highest floor of any team in the country. I mean, I don't know if they have a ceiling of an Arkansas or a Duke just because of the NBA talent, but, you know, it's they barely get out of, you know, second gear against some of these teams. I mean, the game against Oregon, I know Oregon hasn't been as good as we thought, but they seem to just go through the motions, and that was a double-digit win on the road at a Pac-12 team. Like, it's just they seem to know who they are. You know, every night they're going to grab offensive rebounds, they're going to defend, and, you know, at worst, that's good enough to win probably 25 games this season and win at least two or three games in the tournament. The difference with this season's team is, like, they have a lot of offensive weapons. That's something that Kelvin Sampson hasn't really had the past couple of years, which is a good sign considering that they made the Elite Eight and Final Four the last 2 years. So, you know, you have Marcus Sasser. He seems to be healthy. You know, Terrace Walker, the five-star freshman. Terrence Arsenault is another top 100 recruit that looks like he's a player offensively. They just have a lot of weapons. And, you know, I think they can kind of stack up favorably to any team in the country. When you go, you know, put your best five against somebody else's best five, they're going to have, you know, more talent than most teams. And then you throw in that toughness, that rebounding, that defense, plus Kelvin Sampson's coaching. You know, I just think I'm with you. Like, I'm all in. If I had to pick a national champion today, I'd probably pick them.
You mentioned Arkansas. Nick Smith, the, you know, one of three McDonald's All-Americans, but the most heralded McDonald's All-American in Arkansas's recruiting class, missed time early, but he's now back. Was 6 of 14 from the field last night, 22 points, 4 rebounds in a blowout. Not really a blowout. It was 65-58, a win over UNC Greensboro. You noted how Arkansas has a high ceiling. A lot of that is obviously tied to Nick Smith. I had friends who are Arkansas fans who were concerned about his, you know, very notable absence from some early season games, but it looks like everything's fine in Fayetteville now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the missed practice time that I blame for Lively's so slow start hasn't really impacted Nick Smith at all. It's funny. I mean, Eric Musselman seemed to say that he was going to kind of ease Smith into the equation, and he throws him out last night for 39 minutes. So I guess he's all the way back. He's all the way healthy. But he raises the ceiling of that team. You know, he just gives him a guy. He's you know, one of the best offensive players in the country. He was probably the best offensive player in the 2022 recruiting class across the country. And, you know, Anthony Black was great early. Ricky Council can get buckets. You know, Trevon Brazil has had a breakout, I don't know, every other game, I guess I would say. But Nick Smith is just, he's a legitimate go-to guy, and great for himself, great for others. And he brings kind of perimeter shot-making ability, which not a lot of guys in Arkansas can do right now. And so I just, you know, if they play to their potential, and obviously there's 3 months or whatever till Selection Sunday, it's a long way to go. But I just think he kind of raises their ceiling to national title contention if all the pieces fit.
Wrapping up here with Jeff Borzello from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, a lot of Mississippi State graduates in this market. The Bulldogs under first-year coach Chris Jans are 8-0. They don't have big wins, but they did, you know, beat the Marquette team that blasted Baylor, beat the Utah team that blasted Arizona, 8-0 up to 25th at KenPom after starting the season at 53rd. Is it possible? I know it's possible. Let's say, is it probable that Chris Jans is going to have an NCAA tournament team in his first season in Starkville?
I think so. You know, you mentioned they haven't had any really resume-boosting wins yet, and they probably won't get that until SEC play. But, you know, there's a very, very good chance they're going to go to SEC play 12-0. You know, their toughest non-conference game left, I guess, would be, I know, besides the TCU game in late January, it's probably Drake on a neutral site. Like, they should win that game. They should go into Alabama after Christmas at 12-0. And so, you know, you really only have to go probably, what, 10-8 in SEC play to make the tournament. And I think that they're, you know, defensively, they're elite. I mean, they're top 10 in the country defensively right now. You know, they're another old team. They have a lot of former transfers. Tolu Smith's been around the program. He's having a great year. It's just, you know, Chris Jans, you know, as you know, he's, you know, coaches and people in the industry have kind of perceived him as one of the best coaches or most underrated coaches in the country for a long time. And, you know, he's come in with a team that had talent that just didn't kind of live up to it the past couple of years, added a few pieces. And, you know, right off the bat, they're just high, high level defensively. And, you know, given what they've done so far, they're rebounding really, really well. I mean, it's, you know, we talked about what Kelvin Sampson's Houston team does defensively and on the glass, and Mississippi State is kind of mirroring that in terms of toughness and physicality. And then you combine that with experience and a really good coach, and, you know, I just think that they are on track. I mean, they're top 25 team right now, and barring a collapse once SEC play starts, they're going to be in the tournament.
It is Jeff Borzello from ESPN. Make sure you're reading him, ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Borzello. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan, for having me on.
All right. That's Jeff Borzello from ESPN. The Chris Jans story is interesting for people who might be unfamiliar. This is a guy who has worked in junior colleges and been a longtime assistant coach. His career trajectory is very similar to Steve Forbes's in a lot of way. Just a basketball guy through and through that has worked, who has worked at every level of the sport. And then, you know, back in 2014, after he had been an assistant coach at Wichita State for Greg Marshall for a significant period of time, he got the head coaching job at Bowling Green. And people were like, he's going to be great at Bowling Green. And he was. Like, in this first year, he won 21 games. And then he had a off-the-court incident in a bar. You can Google it if you want to. And it cost him his job. And it was like, man, is Jans ever going to make it back? And, you know, there was no obvious answer to that question. Greg Marshall rehired him at Wichita State. And, you know, the way I understood that is that, you know, I know Greg Marshall's career really went sideways for, you know, reasons that you can also Google. And he's no longer the coach at Wichita State or anywhere. But my understanding of that whole situation is that, you know, Marshall didn't know if he could bring Chris Jans back on staff after the incident at Bowling Green. And Steve Forbes and some others who were close to Jans and close to Greg, like, reached out to Greg Marshall and said, you've got to help him now. He helped you for a long time. He needs you now. And you have the power on your campus to push this through. Like, not everybody could have hired Chris Jans in that moment. But there are certain coaches who have so much power on a campus that they can push some things through that maybe some other people can't push through. And at that time, in that moment, Greg Marshall was that guy at Wichita State. So he brought him back to Wichita State, and Jans spent a couple years there, you know, as like a special assistant to the head coach. And then he got the New Mexico State job when it opened in 2017 to restart his Division I head coaching career. and just absolutely killed it at New Mexico State. In 5 years there, went 122-32. He won the league, the Western Athletic Conference, 4 out of the 5 years he was there. Finished third in the other year. Made the NCAA tournament 3 out of the past 4 times we held an NCAA tournament. And when it became clear that Ben Hallam wasn't going to get another year at Mississippi State, the obvious candidate for that Mississippi State job was Chris Jans, because people assumed he would. He was just perfect for that job. Like, if there's a really high-level basketball coach who could flourish in Starkville, Mississippi, Chris Jans seemed to be that guy. And, boy, he is off to an incredible start. 8-0, top 25 at KenPom. I've actually got Mississippi State in the top 10 of my top 25 and 1 because, again, they don't have any big, big wins, but they are 8-0 with a win over the Marquette team that beat Baylor by a million. And that Baylor team went on to beat Gonzaga, has also beaten UCLA. Couldn't beat Marquette, and Mississippi State did. And then they've also got Mississippi State a win over Utah. That's a Utah team that blasted an Arizona team that won the Maui Invitational. So, as always, time will tell. We'll see if this is real or not. I actually was texting with Jans this weekend, and he was like, you know, he said, you know, he doesn't quite, just like every other coach, doesn't quite know how good they are right now or how good they can be. But he likes his team. And, of course, DJ Jeffries is a prominent part of that team. Former Tiger is having a nice a season and among the reasons that Mississippi State is off to this 8-0 start. So that's another college basketball story worth following. I know the Ben Hallen thing never really worked out the way a lot of people, myself included, thought that it would. But this Chris Jans thing is working tremendously so far. And, you know, Mississippi State's next game, if you're interested, it is Sunday. On the road, Big Ten country, they're going to play Minnesota.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.